Welcome back to YIG. So my name is Gordon and I'll be leading us all in a time of Singspiration. So when YIG resumed in July, we basically resumed the study of Psalms and we covered the first cluster of Psalms. And so in particular, we see in Psalm 4, verse 4, that reads, let me read this for you. It says, be angry and do not sin. Meditate within your heart and on your bed and be still. So personally, I think that this is something that is not easy to practice, to draw the line of, on one hand, being angry, and on the other hand, not to sin. Okay, so some context. So right now I'm teaching at a poly, and sometimes we send students out for internship. So part of my job scope, right, involves like being a point of contact, like a middleman between the company and the student. Okay, so in July, my students texted me and they told me that their supervisor had been quite unreasonable. So they keep getting scolding and they cannot take it anymore. Okay, so after hearing from my student side, I needed to make a trip down to the company to investigate things further and to hear from the supervisor's side. And, you know, if things were true, right, then it's also to help them, to help him to take a different approach from scolding. So in other words, just want to tell him, like, don't keep scolding my students, lah. Okay, so when I met the supervisor, it was actually very clear that we had different approaches to the way we see things. Okay, so things really turned sour. And things escalated to the point that personal remarks were made against me. Okay, so he said, and I quote, he said this to me, okay, that I am like everyone else. I just collect my pay and I do nothing. So when I heard that, I was seriously offended and I was burning with anger. And I was fully restraining myself for the rest of the meeting. And before it ended, I actually forced him to retract the statement that he made against me. For the next few days, the more I thought about it, the angrier I became. I just felt that I don't deserve this. Okay, so the pride in me wanted to get back at the person or at the company. And I actually thought of a range of retaliation. Okay, from leaving a one-star Google review of the company to calling Timon to discuss my legal options. So this entire process actually affected my spirit. And I became very grumpy, I became very critical. And this is no longer what we read earlier on where it says, be angry and do not sin. But this is actually sinful anger already. So in Psalm 6, we actually see the chastisement of the Lord to David. So for me, my chastisement was probably in the form of no joy. And for that one whole week, I just didn't have any joy at all. And deep down, I know that even if I really retaliate against the person, I won't be happy also. So in Psalm 4, verse 4, we see the other half, which reads, meditate within your heart, on your bed, and be still. And the only way for me to get out of this situation is really to go back to my source of joy, which is the Word of God and God Himself. And I meditated on the Word of God and the experiences of God's goodness in my life. Just remembering how the Lord has been good to me brought gratitude. And when my gratitude towards God sets in my heart once again, the sinful anger that I once had cannot coexist with it. And with that, my joy returned. So last month, that's in July, my boss and I went down to the company to officially withdraw the students. This time round, I just let my boss do the talking. And after my boss finished talking, right, me and the supervisor, we actually locked eyes one last time. Okay, so this time round, I didn't do anything to him. I didn't say anything. I just smiled and I walk out. Okay. So in fact,
the song that I've chosen today is... Okay. I haven't finished. Okay. The song that I've chosen is 10,000 Reasons. Why? Because there are actually many reasons in our life that we can give thanks to the Lord for. And every one of these can actually be a powerful reason to keep us away from having an angry spirit. So please join me in taking this song together. Thank you. I'll pass the time back to Pastor Mark.
Okay. Thank you, Gordon, for sharing with us. Always appreciate how you are able to share so candidly. And also the lessons that you have learned. And these are good lessons, right? Sometimes we are so caught up with our perspective, the way we approach things. And, you know, it may not be the best. And we find that maybe we have, you know, fallen into sin. But yet, recognizing what God is teaching you to be able to appreciate all that God has already given to you, to have a heart of gratitude, I think that is always the best approach. So sometimes we tend to think, okay, what is the chastisement of the Lord? The chastening of the Lord always involves sin. That is the difference, see, between testing and the chastisement of the Lord. Far often than not, I think we all still struggle with sin, and humbly, with a heart that is contrite, we seek the Lord. And I think that's far better approach than, just going about our own ways. Okay, let's pray and then let's take up the Lord's word. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we truly want to thank you for all the lessons that you are teaching us as we study the Psalms. And help us, Lord, to continue to open our hearts, to listen to your voice, especially in how we ought to grow and develop our faith and how we need to deal with the problems that we struggle with in life. Pray that you will just continue to enlighten us and bless our time together, for we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, just a quick review. So last week we learned about Psalm 16, and Psalm 16 is a beautiful psalm. You really want to take time to go back to it, review again and again to really appreciate what it means for David to have a far stronger faith in the Lord, to be able to have that kind of focus. And it makes a lot of difference. If you are able to focus on what God has blessed you with rather than, the things that are happening in your life, it makes a lot of difference. You see things very differently. And to be able to then sense that kind of closeness that you can have with God, one who has shown us so much goodness, blessed us, one who has given us his inheritance, many, many wonderful things to focus on, rather than the things that tend to get us down, bog us down, and get us distressed, and so on. So these core values in our life, what is it that you really want to be able to have in terms of our faith and focus? This is what you want to be able to have. Okay? Now let's go on to Psalm 18. We're going to take a bit of time in Psalm 18. In fact, maybe about 5 weeks or so. So when you look at Psalm 18, it's a fairly long psalm. But you want to study it and to look at it from David's standpoint. So we look at it in terms of a number of strengths, right? So the first section really has to do with love, what we call the love strength. Right? How David expressed his love to God. Next one is about deliverance. Then also about reciprocity, about light and strength. And then the last part is really about praise to God, about being our rock. So there are different strengths that you want to be able to have, and it will open up the psalm for you. Okay? So you then will be able to see the flow. Now, of course, there is a historical context to this. Let's read the superscription. It says here, to the chief musician, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, who spoke to the Lord the words of this song on the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. So when he used the word day, it doesn't mean one day, right? Because he's talking about all his enemies. And of course, in particular, the hand of Saul. So when we talk about enemies, we are talking about not just Saul himself, though that would be one of the main ones. We're also talking about other nations like the Philistines and the Amorites and so on. Okay? So these are the reflections of David, and he has basically formed a collective understanding of how the Lord has delivered him through all these events. So it's not just one particular occasion. You're talking about all the different occasions, but as he experienced God for who he is, he has come up with this collective understanding of how God has delivered him. Okay? And really being able to appreciate where David is coming from. Now, what is the context? Of course, it has to do with enemies. So let's look at verse 4, first of all. Right? The pangs of death surrounded me, and the floods of ungodliness made me afraid. The sorrows of Sheol surrounded me, the snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord. So this was a situation where David was very much in distress. So I don't know whether you have felt distress or you're going through a distressing time at this point. But when you look at what David was going through, it was truly, truly distressing, right? It is a near-death experience because enemies, he thought possibly he was going to die. He was faced with overwhelming ungodliness, right? The enemies, they were wicked, they were evil. So sometimes when we look at the situations that we are in and we tend to think, wow, this is bad, this is difficult. But I don't think what we are going through is even close to what David is going through, right? The sorrow of Sheol. The word Sheol basically means the grave. Every time when you read the word Sheol, it's reference to the grave, right? The sorrows of Sheol, or the grave, surrounded me. The snares of death confronted me. He really felt great distress that his own life was being threatened. He was, you know, facing this great difficulty. Of course, not often that we would have to go through life-threatening situations. But definitely we will face distressing situations. It could be a workplace situation like Gordon, right? Having to deal with a person concerning your students and so on. Not easy. Recognize that. Right? I don't know whether you saw the video about, you know, the man, old man touching the the head of the daughter, right? And, you know, the father got so upset and then pushed the guy and it's all on the, you know, so it's, sometimes it's reactive. People are angry. We get upset. You know, this is what we will have to face. Sometimes it's the strain of relationships or family. And, you know, it's never easy. We recognize that, right? And so how do we face this situation? And in that distress, oftentimes we would not have the concept of love in our hearts and our minds. Oftentimes, as what Gordon said, is anger. There's a lot of anger. And when your heart is filled with anger, it's very difficult to have love. Anger and love are sometimes very difficult to coexist. Right? But interesting, so the other version that we want to just take a very quick look at is 2 Samuel 22. It's the same exact song. So now, if you look at 2 Samuel 22, and it says, And David spoke to the Lord words of this song on the day when the Lord had delivered him from the hand of all his enemies, hand of Saul, and he said, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress." So the difference here is that there is no mention of what Psalm 18 started off with, right? Psalm 18:1 started, "I will love you, O Lord, my strength." But in 22, verse 2, there is no mention of love. Right? That straight away he talks about, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress." So how do we kind of reconcile the difference? See, what David had was truly a deep sense of love for God. So let's go back to Psalm 18, verse 1. And he says, "I will love you, O Lord, my strength." And he openly declared this love. He wrote it down. He's sharing it with everybody else. And he's saying, "I truly love God in a very personal way. And I see God as someone very precious to me, and I love him. I love you, O Lord, my strength." Now, I don't know whether you are a person who would express your love to someone, whether it's your family members, your husband, your wife, your children. I don't know whether you are someone who would express that. Oftentimes, it's a bit harder for us as Asians. But I do. I tell my wife all the time that I love her. Right, dear? Yeah, we're just kidding, don't worry. And the thing is that, you know, when we love someone, we will want to tell the person, "I truly love you." And that's David. That's David's heart. That's David's mind. And the thing is that when you look at 2 Samuel 22, and actually this was already the last part of his life, because when you turn to 23, it's really David's last words. When you come to Psalm 18, it's really something that he wanted to add on as an expression of his heart and his dedication to the Lord. "I love you, O Lord." And now, in Psalm 5, he already mentioned this about the righteous, right? In Psalm 5:11, he said, "Let those also who love your name be joyful in you." See? Love, joy, that goes together, right? And of course, this has to do with the Shema. He's just practicing the Shema, which is, right, that you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength, or all your soul, okay? Now, let's talk about this in a little bit more, you know, as an expression, right? The two ways to look at this. Now, let's go back to Psalm 18 and verse 2. He says, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer." Right? "My God, my strength, in whom I will trust." So these are what we call reasons for David to love the Lord. And, you know, when you talk about 10,000 reasons, right? And I hope that you have many, many reasons as to why we ought to love the Lord. And I don't mean just knowledge. So last week we talked about hate knowledge, right? Someone mentioned that a lot of times what we learn becomes hate knowledge. We don't want to just have hate knowledge. We want to be able to have heart knowledge. Right? Where it really goes down deep to your heart and it moves you. And your heart seeks to respond. Right? Because a lot of times it's just head knowledge. We leave it there. We understand, oh, that sounds good. That's nice. And then that's about it. But we cannot leave it as just head knowledge. We want to be able to have heart knowledge. Where the knowledge becomes very personal, real, and it's only through the experiences of life that you see God for who He really is. Because head knowledge is just head knowledge. But when you experience God, see, for instance here, right? He talks of God as my strength now. The word my strength comes out twice. And therefore, right, verse 1 and also in verse 2, my strength, my strength. So the idea of strength is something that has to do with the inner man, right? It is really about the internal. So we are really talking about the idea of the inner expression of how God helps, right? That means this strength is not from our so-called strength. That strength comes from God, my strength. You are my strength. So it comes from God, but it is a strength that is expressed within. You see, early on in Psalm 6, right, where he was being chastised, I'm weary, all night I make my bed swim. Is that strength? No. Right? There is no strength. So he's wearied, he's tired, and worn out. But along the way, God became David's strength. It is an internal expression of help. That strength comes. And whether it's through the grace and mercy of the Lord, he's able to find that strength. I'll give you an example. See, like 1 Samuel 23. Right? 1 Samuel 23, there is Jonathan. And we read in verse 16. Then Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David in the woods and strengthened his hand in God. So, even though you support someone and you encourage the person, that strengthening is in God. Right? And then we also read in 1 Samuel 30, verse 6. So this is what he was going through, right? The Amalekites invaded attacked Ziklag and then taken captive their women, their children and all. So David and his men, they were very upset, right? And look at verse 6. Now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him. Right? Because the soul of all the people will grieve every man for his sons and his daughters. So sometimes people will say all kinds of things. Right? Almost throw stone at you. That's the problem. But look at this. David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. See the difference? It's not strengthening yourself by your own ability and so on and so forth. It is in the Lord, in the Lord. And this is what it means for God to be your strength. So David was able to see himself being strengthened, but it's in the Lord. So this is the inner expression of help that God gives, right? That strength that comes. And, you know, wonderfully, when he sees this as very real, he is able to continue. He's steadfast, he's resilient. He doesn't give up, even though about to be stoned, he carried on. Right? Okay. Then we look at what we call the external expressions of help. What are these external? So we come then to verse 2. The Lord is my rock. Can you see this? So then these are what we call external expressions of help. God being his rock. So let me explain a little bit, right? What is this rock? So what's the difference between rock and fortress and stronghold and so on? So I'm going to take a bit of time to try and explain this for you. God is seen as rock. Rock is a natural refuge, a hiding place, right? Full protection for David. And so he was hiding in the caves. Now, I'm going to show you some pictures. This is what we call the case of Adullam. You can turn to 1 Samuel 22, and this is actually being mentioned. Right? Verse 1. David therefore departed from there and escaped to the cave of Adullam. Okay, can I see the pictures? So this is the place called Adullam. Oh, sorry. This one. All right. So this is the cave. Right? Actual cave in Adullam. Actually, you won't know the difference, right? I mean, any cave or so is about the same, but it is the actual cave. So you can imagine David and all hiding there. The previous one? Okay, so can you see the caves and all? So this is Adullam, where most likely David hid. And the other one is actually 23, 29, right? Then David went up there and dwelt in a stronghold at En-Gedi. Okay. Can I have the first one again? This is actually En-Gedi. Right, this area. So you can see that there are valleys. And he will also... you can see it's very mountainous. Okay? So just to give you a glimpse of this idea of a rock. Okay? Now, since we are 1 Samuel 23, let's look at 23, verse 28. So in 1 Samuel 23, and you can read it, so David was actually running away from Saul. And verse 24. So they arose and went to Ziph before Saul. David and his men were in the wilderness, Maon. When Saul and his men went to seek him, they told David, therefore he went to the rock and stayed in the wilderness of Maon. When Saul heard that, he pursued David. Then Saul went on one side of the mountain and David and his men on the other side of the mountain. So David made haste to get away from Saul, for Saul and his men were encircled. You see the idea of being surrounded with wickedness and so on, right? Were encircling David and his men to take them. But a messenger came to Saul saying, "Hurry and come, for the Philistines have invaded the land." Therefore, Saul returned from pursuing David, went against the Philistines, so they caught the place, the rock of escape. That is what it means for God to be the rock for David, right? That he was called the rock of escape. And this is something that he continues to hold on to. I mean, to me, that is his protection. He was his hiding place. And wonderfully. So what is the difference between the rock and a fortress? A fortress is what we call a built-up, a well-fortified city. Okay? It's something that is built, a place of defense. So God also provided safety to David as he has all this defense against the enemies. So Jerusalem is actually a well-fortified city. So that's the difference between a rock in a fortress. Then, of course, God was also his deliverer. Right? My rock, my fortress, my deliverer. Right? The idea of God being his redeemer, his savior, and got him out of whatever situation that he was in. Okay? Now, very quickly, let's go on. And he says here, my God, my strength in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. The idea of shield is, of course, again, protection. But very interestingly, this was not the first time he talked about him, God being his shield, right? So let's very quickly go back to Psalm 5. No, sorry, starting with Psalm 3. In Psalm 3, we read about verse 3. But you, O Lord, are the shield for me. See? So of course, a shield, the idea here is protection, right? And David is discovering God as one who protects. He is a shield. Right? Now, then in in Psalm 5, we read in verse 12, for you, O Lord, will bless the righteous with favor. You will surround him as with a shield. So what we see here is not just a discovery, but a development of an idea of God. Right? Here, my shield, my glory. Here is that with favor, you surround him as with a shield. Wow. So there is a development of thought. There is now God's favor involved and God's favor surrounding him. And then when you come to Psalm 18, where he says, my shield, right? In the midst of all the other things that he has spoken of, my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, and so on. So it's no longer just one concept, but many. His idea of God develops. There is a greater depth of understanding and appreciation of who God is. So he's never stagnant. Shield, 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 shield. That's it. No. Every time he just talk about shield, no. He will bring in new ideas. He will bring in new concepts because his relationship with God is always developing. His understanding of God deepens. And then there's greater revelation that is given to him concerning who God is, right? That he is the horn of salvation. He is my stronghold. So what's the difference with stronghold? A stronghold is usually something that is higher, right? God is a personal stronghold to David. Again, go back to 1 Samuel 23. In 1 Samuel 23, verse 14, it says, David stayed in the strongholds in the wilderness and remained in the mountains in the wilderness of Ziph. Saul sought him every day. Saul sought him every day, but God did not deliver him into his hand. See? That is the idea of stronghold. Can God deliver David to the hand of Saul? The answer is yes. But he did not. It is the prerogative of God to decide so. And therefore, David depended on God every day. See, I hope you are kind of catching what Psalm 18 is all about. It is about development of understanding and relationship. And therefore, because it's so rich and deep, the love for God is always there. It grows. Each time when you think of a new understanding or a new understanding is revealed to you, there is that love that comes, especially as you experience it. So a lot of things that David went through is not just head knowledge. It is heart knowledge. It is heart knowledge because he has experienced it. He has discovered God in the midst of his surroundings, about the things he has encountered, about his experiences, and that form his theological perspective of who God is. It becomes very personal, very real, and you can see, it's not just, I need to apply, kind of. He's applying left, right, center because it is so necessary for him to be able to see God in those situations. And therefore, he was able to write the way he wrote. Right? You know, sometimes when you go through a particular situation, you know that God somehow kept you. Sometimes when we travel, and you know, this is something that we appreciate, God keeping us, journey mercies, and so on and so forth. You know, at the beginning of our trip to the Dolomites, there was a little thing that happened that kind of, caught me off guard, right? We were taking a train to one of the towns where we're going to rent a car. And on the train, even though we reserved the seat, the seat was backwards, right? The train was, a lot of times the seats are backwards and stuff like that. And I didn't tell you this story, right? So anyway, so I needed to sit sideways first. So I was sitting sideways facing my wife because I love her. So that's why I always look at her. So I needed to do that first, right? But after a while, I decided, okay, actually I have this motion sickness pill just in case. But the problem in motion sickness pill, and I also was on medication, which brought my heart rate down and so forth. I don't know whether it was a combination of things. But anyway, we reached there about lunchtime. And I was anticipating, well, okay, we should go and have lunch at the town. But we decided, okay, let's go and collect the car first, and then maybe go and look for something for lunch. But after a while, it was about 1+, 2+, and then my wife was trying to get a car. I was just waiting outside. I began to hyperventilate. And I was very concerned because, you know, I was just standing there. Maybe I should have gone straight in to go and call my wife, but I didn't want to disturb her. I was sweating, and there was two chairs. There was this lady that was sitting in one chair, and I didn't care. I just plopped next to her, and I was like taking off my coat, and wow, I was quite concerned, right? And I closed my eyes. Wow, almost fainted, right? And then my wife appeared. Hey, what happened? Right? I told her I'm hyperventilating, right? And so finally I got her go and get some biscuits from the vending machine, and finally I ate something. I was much better. What a start to a trip, right? And so I called Dr. Daniel from the Dolomites, and I asked him, hey, you know, this is what happened. And I took this medicine, I took this. Then he said, don't worry, all right, you know, don't drive, and, go and eat something. And I think I had some stomach upset, so that really made things worse. But, you know, all along, I was just trusting the Lord and trusting my wife and, just being able to appreciate how God will continue to keep us and watch over us. So after a few days, I was much better. But that was a bit scary, you know, just to start off the trip and no doctors and, you know, so thank God for Dr. Daniel. Thank God for the internet. Still can call him and so on. You know, and sometimes when you experience, it's still very real to me. And when you experience, whether it's a question of sickness, whether it's a question of distressing times, whether it's a question of difficulties that we go through, and you see God very real and very involved. That becomes heart knowledge rather than head knowledge. And that's what we want to be able to have. Right? Okay, Gabe, what do you think? Very quickly before we take out the last part.
I think Psalm 18 is a psalm that I really appreciate.
Yeah.
And so I'm very excited to study it all over again to see what we can learn.
Sure.
And I think going through the words of how David described God,
yeah,
I think it struck me that David knows God in such a deep and personal way. Because if I were to describe who God is to me, I probably wouldn't come up with such words.
Correct.
With so much meaning and nuance to it.
Yes.
But this is something that David could speak of because he really knew God in, like what he said, that heart knowledge.
Yes.
So this actually brought to mind Jeremiah 9 about let him who glories glory in this, right?
Yes.
He understands and knows me.
Yes.
And I think what I'm really inspired by is that I really want to know God in such a deep and personal way as well.
Yep.
That I could be able to speak just as how David did of who God is to him.
Yeah, absolutely. So the glory part will be the last part where you talk about praising God, right? The Lord lives, blessed be my rock. And so it will come towards the end. But before that, he is going to help us develop a greater appreciation and understanding of who God is. And you're right. Right? It's really being able to see what it means for us, you know, to look at God and His glory. In His magnificence, in His awesomeness, in all that He is. And that to me is exciting. Right? The problem is many of us, after a while, it's just head knowledge. It's just, okay, you know, I understand. We don't go far enough. We, you know, when you love someone, when you, it's because someone is really precious to you. Someone that is very real to you. Right? And of course, when you think about how David approached it, is the way in which he related with God and he calls out to God. Look at verse 3. Right? There are what we call determinations that he had. In verse 3, I will call upon the Lord. Right? And then verse 6, in my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried out to my God. That's very real to him. He will make that choice to call out to God rather than to resort to our own devices, to others, to people. Right? Consistently, he will cry out to God. You remember the Ziklag incident? What did he do? He inquired of the Lord. Right? Should I go down? Should I go and do this? Should I do that? See? He was calling out to God. And God answered him. So this was really, Psalm 18 is really a reflection of how David would, with great intensity, cry out to God. Right? And not only that, he would also, as you say, praise him. Verse 3. Who is worthy to be praised. Wow. See, a lot of us, we tend to understand what it means. Okay, worthy. But is it something that truly grows? You see God as one that is full of worth, and that worth keeps growing. You see the richness of who God is, the worth, the value, the preciousness of God as someone keeps growing. See, in our relationship with, like, say, our spouse, our husband and wife, it kind of like, after a while, that relationship, wow, you know, it slowly dies, it's slowly less precious, slowly we don't appreciate as much, and so on and so forth. And therefore, after a while, that love is lost. That's the problem, you see. Of course, they are not God, lah, right? But the point is that that's a problem with relationships. So after a while, we take a lot of things for granted. And we lose that love for God after a while. Right? Worthy to be praised, so shall I be saved from my enemies. There is that absolute trust. Trust in God, that God will bring about His salvation. He is my deliverer. He will save us. There's that absolute confidence and hope. This week, somebody was sharing me, well, you know, I'm trying to get a job. I've lost so much hope. It's very challenging. Then I reverse back. You know, the Bible tells us a lot about hope. Right? Go and read all these verses. So I go and read this chapter, go and read this chapter, go and read this chapter. Mm-hmm. Right? Because there's so much hope that is found in the scriptures and so much hope that we can find in God. Why don't we focus on that? Right? And God will ultimately answer. Verse 6. He heard my voice from his temple, and my cry came before him, even to his ears. You know, we would see how God would answer us accordingly. Lovingly, graciously, he will answer our prayers. Sometimes it takes a bit of time. Sometimes we need to wait upon the Lord. I was talking to someone also during lunch, you know, still waiting upon the Lord. Well, keep waiting. Let's learn to trust. Let's learn to hold on to him. Let's learn to continue to have that hope. Right? So even as we look at David's example, I hope it will truly inspire you to take time to think this through. Find that many deep reasons. Don't just find reasons. Find deep reasons that will move your heart to really love the Lord, right? And as you call out to Him, as He answers your prayer, as you learn to trust in Him, there will come that praise, right? So anyway, we are going to plan for our Christmas things very soon, so we'll catch up. And, you know, let's really praise and worship the Lord. Let's plan for something that we will honor the Lord for all that we have learned and what we have been able to experience, right? And, you know, that love will be something. So the theme for November and December that Pastor has chosen is really about God's love. It's His love that we really want to honor and highlight that much more during Christmas time. Okay? All right. Let's pray and then let's give our offering. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we truly want to thank You for being our God. And oftentimes we have taken You for granted. Oftentimes we think that we know You, but yet we recognize how profound You are. And there's so many wonderful things that we can continue to explore, to discover, to experience, so that You can be so much more personal and real to us, and that we can learn what it means to truly, truly love You. Help us, Lord, not to only have head knowledge, but to have heart knowledge, that our hearts will be moved to do something, even as we learn to give for the furtherance of Your kingdom. Bless this offering, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.